I want to start off, not really this lesson as much, but this evening, with a great big thank you. A great big thank you to each and every one of you for your warm welcome to Amanda and I. We have felt very much your love and your encouragement and your excitement and passion about this ministry here, and we couldn't be more excited to be a part of that, and we're loving it. You know, being here in Springfield, people ask us, you know, how do you like it? Are you getting settled in? And we just ear to ear grinning, and most of that has to do with the welcome that we've received. You guys have made that transition for us just so easy and so loved, and we have felt so loved by this church family, and we greatly appreciate you, and we're falling in love even more with you, and falling in love even more with your kids, and we're just continuing to be excited about what the Lord has in store for each of us and around the corner as we all grow, as we all are challenged, and as our faith is pressed, as we grow closer to Him. This evening's lesson is titled "Hard Work Pays Off," and really the idea comes from this story of a man who, in about 1981, developed this machine. And he called it a bone density scanner. And he went around and tried to sell this machine to hospitals and clinics. And about that same time, something else was being sold and being offered at hospitals and clinics and those sorts of things. And you might be wondering, well, I've never really heard of a bone density scanner. That sounds kind of odd. And that's because it was one of those ideas, it was one of those inventions that took so much hard work, but it ended up being so costly to operate, so costly to use and maintain, that it just didn't make it. Because we have X-ray. And X-ray was one of those things that just sort of kept this bone density scanner from really getting off the ground. But this man who came up with this bone density scanner, Chris Gardner, as a result of not being able to sell his product, his invention, he kind of lost a lot in his life. He ended up losing his job, losing his wife, losing his home. Really, the only thing that he had left was just his son. And he just kind of ended up living with him on the street until there was an opportunity to sort of start over. But it was a non-paying opportunity. It was one that required a six-month internship. Now, if this is starting to sound a little familiar, I'm sure to some of you it probably is if you saw the movie. In 2006, there was a movie that was based on this story. It was The Pursuit of Happiness, starring Will Smith. And Chris Gardner had a choice to make. He had a choice to make, whether he was going to work hard to provide for his son, to provide for his family, or whether he was going to try to continue to chase some fantasy that wasn't going to happen. And I think this is what the writer of Proverbs has this very thing in mind. You see, the writer of Proverbs is trying to express a general truth. He's saying this is the way things typically are. Yeah, there are exceptions to this, but this is the way that things are typically. This general truth. Most Proverbs are the observation of a wise man about life, about culture, about the way that things are. He who works his land will have abundant food, But he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. So what is the writer of this general truth? What is he trying to convey? He's trying to convey that we want it easy. And that if we want to be blessed, it requires a lot of hard work. If you want to be blessed, it requires hard work. But for a lot of us, that's not really who we are. Because if you offer two people, if you offer a person, you know, two paths to walk down, the easy road or the hard traveled road, what are people going to choose? Inside of you right now, there's a part of you that says, I want it easy. I know that's true because of that's what I would say. That's what other people have said. That's what other people have shared. And it's so true. We want it easy. It may not be the wisest thing, or it may just be a motivation of the easy way is kind of a fun way. But it's just easier. That workload is much easier. You sort of contrast that. Look with me in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 in basically the first 16 verses. I'm not going to read them all, but this is that parable that Jesus tells about the workers in the vineyard. And he relays this parable. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning and he hired men. And he said, I will pay you one denarius for a day's work. And they agree and they go to his vineyard and they start working. And then he goes out at different times during the day and gathers more workers. And he says, I'll pay you what's right. And they agree. And finally, sort of the very last hour of the day, he goes out again and gathers more workers. This is starting to sound familiar. And then he gathers more workers. They come, and they only end up working an hour. And so then he tells his foreman, okay, the day's over. Let's pay everybody. Let's bring those in who came in last. We'll pay them first and send them along their way. And what happens? He pays them all the same amount. He pays them all. He pays those who worked 1 hour the same that he paid those who worked the full day. And there's a part of us, there's a part of me who when I hear that, And he makes his point at the end and says, if I am generous with my money, what is that to you? I agreed to pay you the one denarius for your day's work. But that doesn't help us or our society when we look at this passage want to be the guy who only worked 1 hour and got paid for the full day. And I know that's true. I know that's true about us, about our society, because we want it easy. We want something for nothing. Don't we? Now, there's many of you in here who would say maybe that you would disagree with that in the sense that your life isn't the example of that. And I'm glad. There's many of you in here, if not most of you in here, who have worked very, very hard your entire lives. And there's people across the world who have done the same thing. But that doesn't change the idea that people generally still want something for nothing. This person who chooses this easy way, In other translations and other versions may say, they lack sense. They're void of understanding. Similarly, in Proverbs chapter 28, this speaks of one who follows these empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. It's not just lacking sense or discernment, but having this poverty in abundance. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, a very similar proverb that I think really conveys this point. And it says, a sluggard, a lazy man, does not plow in season. So at harvest time, he looks and finds nothing. He's had so much time to go and to plant and to prepare his field. And then when he goes at the time of the harvest, nothing is there. Nothing is there. Sort of that easy way mentality. I'm not going to touch it and then I'll go to it and just expect to have this abundance. I won't do anything and I'll expect this abundance. The writer of this proverb says that's lacking sense. That's lacking discernment. That's a way of having poverty in abundance. That's having, when you look at what you have, you will find nothing. This isn't a condemning verse for anyone. Only that this easy way mentality, that it lacks judgment. It lacks the sense or understanding. So what does it mean to chase fantasies? It means to pursue worthless things. It means to pursue worthless things. We can stick that phrase, something for nothing, in there. Rather than hard work, this person would choose to take a shortcut. Rather than get a sore back, maybe plowing his ground, planting the seed. He would rather go and try to borrow or take from what someone else has done. Rather than get blisters, he would rather just take the afternoon off and rest in the shade. Rather than have this abundance from his hard work, he's going to have nothing to show for it. In America, we chase all kinds of fantasies, don't we? Don't we chase all kinds of fantasies? Don't we all want in America something for nothing? Don't we at some time or another in our lives, don't we pursue something that's worthless? Well, we can certainly see that in culture, and your hands aren't flying up, so maybe that's not as much something that is affecting each and every one of you, but it doesn't take much to be able to see our families and see people in the workplace and to see people that we know, and we see the things that are so important to them, and that those things are completely distracting them from good things, from the blessings of God. And, you know, when it all comes down to it, are you willing to call those things worthless? They wouldn't. In their chasing their fantasies, it might be money. I want to get that the easy way. I want it for free. Now, how much sense does that make? Or, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is speaking again of the rich fool in verses 16 and following, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of goods laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat and drink and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. That's this idea of chasing this fantasy of wanting more and more. He was already a rich man, but he was so focused on wanting more and more. Or not being a rich man, you just want to get rich and get rich fast. You've seen the infomercials or the emails, invest $500 and you'll never have to work again. Or maybe there's some who invest in the lottery weekly or daily. And you always hear them saying, no, I'm going to win this time. Maybe it's not a fantasy, chasing the fantasy of money. Maybe it's chasing the fantasy of image. It's the latest and greatest. It's the newest thing. It's that idea of having the coolest thing or having this respected, being respected or revered among your peers or your friends. Or maybe it's a social status. You do things to make your image. You're chasing this idea in your mind that this is who you should be. You want to look or act or a certain way. So maybe that's the phone that you have. Maybe that's the clothes that you wear. Ladies, maybe that's shoes or handbags or, I don't know, accessories, something like that. Guys, maybe it's the hunting gear that you have. Maybe you don't own enough camo. I don't know. Or maybe it's your car or your truck or the accessories that you have for it. It's that image. It's that fantasy that you're chasing. Is that something that's worthless? We have to realize that the blessings from God, that they require hard work. They require dedication. You think about a farmer. Now a farmer today might have a big green tractor and can plow his 200 acres with GPS, and he doesn't even have to sit in the cab, and it's all programmed and it's all done, and he can actually sit on his front porch and drink iced tea while his tractor goes back and forth across his field. That may be the case today. But over 2,000 years ago, when this proverb was written, it required a lot of work. It required a lot of work. It's not just a 20 by 30 garden in the backyard with nice, rich, dark soil that they're planting their crops in. This is rocky, arid ground that you'd really just sort of be lucky if anything grew. That they're out there with sticks and, you know, trying to, you know, keep a row straight. You know, it's really that idea of how hard you have to work to plant something there, to get something to grow. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of dedication. This farmer is up early, at the earliest part of the day, plowing his fields until very late. And this farmer isn't someone who just planted his field just to provide for his own family. What do you remember what they did in Jesus' time? Didn't they leave a portion of their crops on the edge of the field? Didn't they leave some behind? And why did they do that? so that those who didn't have food or have property or have crops could come and collect some of that grain. They shared in their abundance of what they had. Their hard work was not just, you know, something for their family to be blessed by, but to be a blessing to others. In their good sense, in their judgment, in their discernment, they helped others with their abundance. And that's, we have to realize that this passage isn't solely directed just at farmers, but also to those who were educated, to the scribes, to the officials, who were also, out of their abundance, expected to help others. This really contrasts fullness with emptiness. And in America, we find this generally true. We find those who seek that education, who work hard for that education, are blessed with that degree. We see that those who are skilled in using their hands and building things, and those who work hard in learning their craft and learning their trade, that they're blessed by their hard work. The question I ask is, do we have the discernment then to help others from the abundance that we've been blessed with? And this is not just in a way of giving to the church, but in a way of serving others, giving to them out of our generosity, out of our abundance. You might be thinking of someone who's in need and you have no way to help them. Maybe your abundance isn't in being able to fix their car or to help them financially or to, you know, do something like that. But maybe their greatest need is someone to love on them, someone to encourage them, someone to befriend them. Consider our churches. Consider how we want our churches to be a thriving, growing church. And the easy way is simply by having your minister do the work. By having your ministers do the work. But it would be a much greater challenge to jump in and roll up your own sleeves and participate in a way in which you serve and you love and you minister, and you offer grace, and you open your home. If you want that thriving, growing church, is it going to come the easy way? Or is it going to come the hard way? You want your children to know the Bible. And the easy way for them to know the Bible is just to bring them to Bible class. Bring them to Bible school. But as Dwight had shared with us this morning, I guess that's only about 40 hours out of the whole year. And now, your kids are exceptional kids, and they can learn a great amount in 40 hours over the course of a year. And that's the easy way. But the hard way is to have a family Bible study, to have spiritual conversations, to talk about the lesson that was preached that morning, to talk about the Bible class that they had that morning, to let your children see you read the Scripture, to see your children see you study the Scripture, for your children to experience your prayer life, to be involved in that. Whether that's a really difficult time in your life or whether things are going very well, that they're involved in that and they're participating in that. This is really hard work. This is really hard work. But God is just waiting. He's just waiting to bless those. He's waiting to bless you. He's waiting to bless us. Who in our abundance, for your care, your love, your faithful diligence in serving in His church, for loving in His church, for ministering in His church. Consider relationships. You want a life without conflicts. So the easy way to have a life without conflict is to avoid them. Whenever the conflicts come up, whether those are conflicts at work, conflicts at home, conflicts with a relative, conflicts within family, you're just avoiding them. Those are the easy way. You sort of turn the blind eye to any sort of conflict. The hard thing to do is to speak out. Is to seek them, to seek out that conflict, to seek reconciliation, to repair that relationship. And that's really hard. That's really hard, especially if that's that bridge, or if that gap that has been made, or if that wrong that has been done many, many, many years ago. But our God is a God of reconciliation. He is a God of removing barriers and bringing people together. And He's wanting you in those relationships, He's wanting us when those conflicts arise, to remove the log from our own eye and extend the arms of love and of friendship and have hands that are prepared to serve. That's hard. But God is just waiting. He's just waiting to bless you for doing it. We want an amazing marriage. And we want it the easy way. We want it by getting all the things that we want. It's sort of the selfish way, I guess. We want, in society today, they want it so easy that when it gets tough or when it gets difficult, they'll just throw their hands up and quit. And I know that pains you when that happens, when you hear about that. And it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of hard work to forgive. It takes a lot of hard work to care for, to serve, to accept responsibility, and to confess your own shortcomings in that relationship. And they're there. And we have to be honest with ourselves and admit it and lay it out there. But that's hard to do. But God is just waiting. He's waiting for you to pour yourself out like that. To pour yourself out in your marriage like that. So that He can just bless you. That is hard work. Consider your own spiritual lives. You want to be inspired. And the easy way when you want to be inspired is you go to the bookstore and you pick up the new book. And that book is still sitting on your shelf. Because the hard part was reading it and applying those things to your life. You want to be inspired, you'll buy the book, but you won't read it. We want to improve our spiritual walk, and we come to church. But That's where our spiritual walk starts, and that's where our spiritual walk ends. And if we want that to be better, then the hard part is taking it home. Is having that daily devotion with God. With meeting with brothers and sisters throughout the week. Not just at church time. But that's hard work. But if you want that improved spiritual walk, what are you willing to do? Do you want to know God's Word? The easy way is maybe just attend Bible study once a week, twice a week. But the hard work is going to the back of our auditorium and picking up one of those daily Bible readings that allow you to read through the whole Bible next year, to pick one of those up and to make a commitment to yourself and to your husband and your friends that, hey, I'm going to do this. I think you should too. Let's do this together. And read through the Bible next year. That's hard to do. Then you have accountability. Then people are going to be asking you about it. But that's not easy. That's hard. We want that close relationship with God to not just in the sense that we know it, but that we feel it, that He is as much a part of our life as our friends, as our church family. And even when we seem to be on an island, you know, we know that He is there carrying us through the desert that it seems that we're walking through in our life, the difficult times, the challenges that we have. We want that close relationship with God. We seek it, and it's easy not to have it because we don't seek Him. We don't seek Him out. It's hard work to get up early, to go find a quiet place, and to get down on your knees and pray. That's hard. I'm not saying that that's easy. But I'm saying you'll be blessed if you do it. This proverb isn't one that condemns anyone. And I didn't read it this evening to do that very thing. But one that we can read and realize and gain encouragement from, and to check our minds and our hearts about what's important for us and what is taking our time and what are we working hard for. But so that we can admit and confess together that this is hard work. Placing God and having Him being the most important thing in your life is a challenge. But there is a family, a rather large family here, that believe that that's where God should be, and we're all trying. Some days are better than others, but we're all trying for that very thing, to make God the most important thing in our life, and to work hard at it. And to encourage one another in that. So that at the end of the day, we know whether it was a really good day or whether it was just a day that, you know, we ended up suffering more than we had time rejoicing. And we'll have days like that. But that's the hard work. That's the hard work paying off. Because at the end of that day, you can say, God wanted me to be faithful today, and I was faithful today. And it was a tough one. It was a tough one. And you have the ability then to share that. To share what God is doing in your life with others. And to realize that that hard work, it does pay off. It does pay off in such a way that we're not talking about food and having an abundance of it. We're talking about faith. We're talking about being filled with God's Spirit and His love. Because the same parallel holds true. It's not just about working for things out in the world and providing for your family, these physical blessings. Those are good. And we know our Heavenly Father knows that we need those things. But He is concerned about our hearts and our minds and our spirit and our soul. And He wants you working hard to fulfill those things, to make those things full. And if you this evening are thinking about needing to move in a different direction, thinking about wanting to change your priorities, wanting to just have the prayers of this congregation or wanting more love and encouragement or to put on Christ in baptism, you will have that opportunity this evening to come. But let me read one verse. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." So wherever you are, and however, whatever it is that you find yourself doing, work hard as working for the Lord. And those who want to respond to this invitation, you can come now while we stand and while we sing.